Hey there, wonderful souls. Welcome back to Dr. Dodswaite's podcast, The Sanctuary, where we dive into real talk, real stories, and real transformation. We're absolutely thrilled to have you joining us once again. Today's episode is more than mere words. It's an invitation for divine transformation. So, take a deep breath, center your heart, and allow the wisdom to resonate within you.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you here. I hope you're doing well. Those who had traveled for Easter, we welcome you back. I hope you enjoyed yourself. As we had fun here in Nairobi, it was a great, great weekend, I'm telling you. And yesterday we kicked off this week of prayer as we command the month. And so we want to continue from where we left yesterday. We are in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 5. And yesterday we looked at a couple of things, but I want to just continue from verse 8. And then I'll just do a quick recap so that you can catch up. Verse 8 says, "And I say to them, according to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nation." Now, for those who were here yesterday, remember we were talking about the slavery that the children of Israel went through, and there was a great outcry, and they were crying because they were under bondage. You know, there was scarcity of resources, and they had mortgaged their houses, their land, and their vineyards, and their children had been taken as, you know, slaves, and they lifted up their voices and gave a great cry. And so in verse 8, we are seeing a response, you know, to their frustration, to their desperation. When they lifted a great cry, you know, is because they were oppressed and their children were oppressed. There was no food, you know, there was famine in the land, and they had mortgaged their houses. You know, they were losing everything. They lost their house, they lost their land, they lost their vineyards, and now they were losing their children, and they knew next it was going to be them. And so they had to cry for help. So in verse 8, we are seeing a response to their situation. And this is Nehemiah. And verse 8, the Bible says, "And I say to them, according to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nation." So at least a part of the group was now redeemed, you know. "And now indeed, will you even sell your brethren, or should they be sold to us?" Then they were silenced. They were silenced and found nothing to say. So Nehemiah steps in this situation and says, we have to do something. We have to recover. We have to redeem, you know, our brothers, our sisters, our sons and daughters, those who have been sold into slavery. And I think we need to applaud Nehemiah, because Nehemiah was a great leader. You know, there was a crisis, there was a problem, there was famine. You know, people had mortgaged their houses, people had mortgaged their land. But Nehemiah looks for a solution. I believe leaders are also born in times of crisis, because a leader will always rise when there is a crisis to see what he can do to be able to mitigate that situation. So Nehemiah here steps up and he says, look, we have to do something about this oppression. We have to redeem our sons. We have to redeem our daughters. We have to redeem, you know, our men. We have to redeem our women. We have to salvage something out of this situation. You know, Nehemiah knew that all is not lost. Nehemiah knew that, you know, it was not the end of life, that that situation was not beyond, you know, saving. And so he stood and he decided that I will do something. You know, sometimes when things are really bad and you try, you know, to mitigate the situation, somebody can say, what's the use? I mean, already there are losses, already, you know, there is destruction. But look, it will still make a difference if you stand and say, hey, we can do something. We can reverse this trend. We can save one soul. We can save two people. We can save a family. We can save a city. We can save a community. I mean, there will always be an opportunity to salvage every situation that you find yourself yourself in. You know, the problem with many of us is we give up so easily, but Nehemiah was not that type. He didn't give up. He said, no, we have to do something. We have redeemed. You know, we have redeemed according to our ability. We have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. We have bought back some of them. And so today I want us to look at the meditation I've entitled "The Redeemed," and then we are going to pray. If I don't finish, we're going to continue in the evening. Now, to redeem simply means to buy back. This is someone that had been taken away, or somebody that had been sold into slavery, and we can see that their sons and their daughters had been sold into slavery. So when you redeem something or redeem someone, you are buying that person back. You are paying the price for someone to be brought back to where that person was, or to the state that person was in. The person was captured by the enemy. The person became a slave. The person was taken away from their home, from their houses, from their jobs, from their vineyards, from their families, from their children, from their parents. And you step in and you decide you're bringing that person back to where that person was. If he was taken away from love, you bring them back to an environment of love. If he was taken away from, you know, from his work, you bring that person back to a place where he can work. If he was taken away from a house, you bring that person back to an environment where they can experience shelter. And this is what Nehemiah did. He says that according to our ability. So that means each and every one of us, we are redeemable. You are redeemable. It doesn't matter how far you have gone. It doesn't matter how low you have sunk. You are redeemable. It doesn't matter how difficult, how hard it is, but I want you to know that you are redeemable. And you know, everybody is redeemable. It doesn't matter how long you have sunk in drugs and perversion and witchcraft. You are redeemable. It doesn't matter how bleak, you know, the future looks for you. You are redeemable. You can come out of that pit. You can be redeemed out of that situation. You can be redeemed out of that dire situation in the name of Jesus. You are redeemable. You know, sometimes we give up on people. Sometimes we give up, you know, on people who have sunk so low. Sometimes we give up on people who have, you know, found themselves in addiction, who have found themselves in a prison. But I want you to know that everybody, every single person is redeemable. You are redeemable. It doesn't matter how hooked you are on that thing, how hooked you are on pornography, how hooked you are on drunkenness, how hooked you are on traditions. I want you to know that you are redeemable. You can be redeemed. You can be set free. You can be delivered. You can be bought back. You can be brought back into the kingdom, into the church. It doesn't matter how many years you have stayed even away from church. There are people, you know, during COVID, they stayed away from church, never went back to church, and they claim to be watching, you know, online, and they don't want to come back to church. I want you to know that you are redeemable. And some of them are feeling like they cannot come back because they have sunk so low in sin, so low in disobedience, so low in perversion, so low in moral, in immorality. But I want you to know that you are redeemable. You can be bought back. You can be brought back. You can be redeemed back into the kingdom of God so that you can function the way God designed you to function. Maybe you're here listening to me and you're feeling so guilty. You're so condemned because of what you did, because of what you participated in. You know, you sunk so low, you know, in the mud, you're in the miry clay. But I want you to know this morning that you are redeemable. The Bible says the hand of the Lord is not short that it cannot save. So the hand of God can reach, you know, to the depth of your pit and just pull you out of that place if you're willing to let him do so. So don't feel like, oh, I think my case is closed. I think I can never bounce back. I can never go back to the place of prayer. I can never be a man of integrity. I can never be a woman of integrity. I can never be trusted one more time. But I want you to know that is the voice of the devil in your head. God is telling you this morning that you are redeemable. These sons had been sold, but Nehemiah was able to redeem them. The daughters had been sold into slavery. The sons had been sold into slavery, but Let me tell you, Nehemiah was able to redeem them from the nations. Hallelujah. And this morning, it doesn't matter how far you've gone. It doesn't matter how far your children have gone. It doesn't matter how far your spouse has gone. I want to proclaim the redeeming power of God to pick them from wherever they are, to pick them from that pit, to pick them from that situation, and bring them back to the fold in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody shout or type, "I am redeemable." Declare it and proclaim it. My children are redeemable. My spouse is redeemable. No matter where they are, no matter what they are going through, no matter how low they have sunk, they are redeemable in the name of Jesus. Even those who stop going to church, proclaim that they are redeemable in Jesus' name. Those who backslid and they have become worse, they are redeemable in the name of Jesus. Those who have been under demonic oppression, they have 7 demons, 10 demons, 20 demons, they have a legion of demons, they are redeemable in the name of Jesus. The man who was living in the tombs was redeemed. The woman, Mary, who had 7 demons, she was redeemed. You are redeemable, no matter how low you are, no matter how broken you are, no matter how ashamed you are, no matter how hopeless you are redeemable in the name of Jesus. Let's go a little bit, deeper. I want us to look at the life of Joseph. And Joseph is a man that we know this story. Joseph was a son of Jacob, and he was sold by his brothers, as a slave, to the Ishmaelites. This is a guy who was loved by his father. His father favored him. His father gave him a coat of many colors, and he was, unashamed about it. He let everybody know that Joseph is my favorite son. He favored him. And Joseph was a dreamer. He kept on dreaming, and he was dreaming about leadership. He dreamt that the sheaves of his brothers were bowing before him. And every time he explained his dream to his brothers, they hated him the more. They hated him because of his dream, because they could actually tell what was going to happen, because the dream pointed at Joseph as being a leader, and all his brothers, and these are his elder brothers, or these are his elder brothers, and all of them were bowing before him, and so they didn't like this dream. There is a dream that will not make you very happy. Have you ever dreamt and you wake up and you say, "What was that? I don't think I want that dream." You can dream until you wake up, sweating, scared, your heart is racing. Or you can dream and you wake up and you say, "Oh, thank God it was a dream." Have you ever dreamt, about something and it was so real, and it's like you're fighting the dream, in your sleep, you didn't like it, it was not a nice dream. And then when you wake up, you realize it is a dream. You go like, "Phew, thank God it was only a dream." So this dream irritated the brothers of Jesus. This dream aggravated them. It made them angry, and they were not happy, with Joseph. And so they decided, "Joseph has to go. We are going to eliminate this guy, because the dreams he's having are not very good dreams. The dreams are pointing to him being our leader, and he's the youngest. He's going to lead us. He's going to be a ruler. No, we don't like this dream." So they decided that we're going to kill this guy so that we may silence his dream forever. But thank God for his brother, elder brother by the name Reuben. He said, "We cannot shed our own blood." You know the story. And so they put him in a pit. And then the Ishmaelites came. When the Ishmaelites came, the brother sold, Joseph to the Ishmaelites, And when they sold him, Joseph found himself as a slave. A man who was favored by his father, a man who was loved by his father, all of a sudden he became a slave. A man who was a favorite in the home. He even had a coat of many colors. They took that coat, and they dipped that coat, soaked it in the blood, slaughtered an animal, soaked that coat in the blood, took it to the father and told the father, "Look, your son has been eaten, by a wild animal." And that broke the heart of the father, because, Jacob really loved, Joseph. And so he was sold into, slavery. He had a dream. But this time the dream didn't look like it will come to pass, because he became, a slave. And they sold him for 20 shekels of silver. You can read that in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 28. They sold him for 20 shekels of silver. And so Joseph was taken, you know, to Egypt. Now, when he was in Egypt, something has happened. He was a slave because, you know, the brothers were given 20 shekels of silver. Can you imagine how low the brothers sunk to sell their brother, their own blood, for only 20 shekels of silver? You know, they placed that value on their brother. I mean, that was unfortunate. Anyway, Joseph finds himself in Egypt. And in Egypt, something else happened. There is another man by the name Potiphar who decided to redeem Joseph. Remember, he was a slave. He decided to pay to have him at his house. So Potiphar redeemed Joseph, and he brought him to his house. He took him from the Ishmaelites, people that Joseph did not know. These were travelers moving from one place to another, from one territory to another. And so he took him. He took him to a house. The brothers took him from the house, put him in a pit. Potiphar bought him, redeemed him, and took him from the streets, and he put him in his house. He brought him back to a house setting where he was able to work, where he was able to find a bed to sleep in, and where he was able to be rewarded because of his labor. So we can say that Potiphar actually redeemed Joseph because he brought him back to a place where he lost. Remember, when the brother sold him, you know, they took him away from his father. They took him away from his home. They took him away from a place where he enjoyed comfort and love. They took him away from a place of security. And Potiphar decided, now I'm going to restore to Joseph what he has lost. He took him back to a house where there was comfort, where there was security, where there was food, where there was warmth and love. And Potiphar became like a father figure in the life of Joseph. Now, this act by Potiphar set the stage for Joseph's elevation. And I want us to look at what follows, you know, Joseph's redemption. We want to look at the aftermath of redemption, and then we are going to pray. So let's look at Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 to 6. I'm going to read it very, very quickly so that we can delve deeper in this subject. The Bible says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. He was a slave by them, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there." That is redemption. He bought him. He paid the price for him. We don't even know how much he paid for it. "Then the Lord was with Joseph." Look at that. That's the aftermath of redemption. "The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. So it was from the time that he made him an overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate." Hallelujah. Now, I want us to look at several things here that are very important. I have called them the aftermath of redemption. And I pray that you'll be able to receive these things as well as the aftermath of your redemption. And these principles, these values, these blessings will become part and parcel of your life in the name of Jesus. So the first aftermath of redemption is the Lord's presence. The Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph. After Joseph was bought by Potiphar, after Joseph was redeemed by Potiphar, you know, the first thing that we see is that Joseph experienced the presence of the Lord. The Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. He experienced the presence of the Lord. A life that is redeemed, this is very powerful. A life that is redeemed experiences the presence of God. Let me say that again. A life that is redeemed experiences the presence of God. When you are redeemed, you are ushered into the presence of God. When you are redeemed, you have access into the presence of God. power. When you're redeemed, you're no longer condemned to step into the presence of God. When you're redeemed, you become a child of God and you have access into His presence. When you have been redeemed from sin, you have been redeemed, you know, from the traditions of this world, you have been redeemed from the clutches of sin and rebellion, you gain access into the presence, the very presence of God. One thing that separates us from the presence of God is sin. You know, it keeps us away from God. We can't approach His presence. We can't have the boldness to stand before God. But when you're redeemed, when you're brought back into the kingdom, you gain access into the very presence of God. What does the Bible say? The Bible says in Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11, "You will show me the path of life in your presence." Look at that. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So in His presence there is fullness of joy. That means you will be jubilant. There will be jubilance in you. You will be jubilant in your soul. You know, sadness, gloom, hopelessness, despair, depression, all those things will disappear because you are in the presence of God. And then there will be what? There will be pleasures forevermore. You will experience pleasures. You'll be refreshed. You'll be revitalized. You'll be re-energized when you are in the presence of God. So those who are redeemed have access to joy. Those who are redeemed have access to pleasure because these are components of the presence of God. Hallelujah. So as a redeemed son of God, as a redeemed child of God, I want you to understand that you have access into the presence of God. As a redeemed child of God, I want you to understand this. Let this really stay in your heart, that you have access into the presence of God. The presence of God becomes attractive to you. The presence of God becomes your environment where you live, where you operate from. The presence of God becomes, you know, a place that you desire to dwell because you don't feel condemned anymore. You have been redeemed. You have been set free. You have been brought back into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I declare that you shall stay in the presence of God. As God's redeemed child, you shall dwell in the presence of God, where you shall experience His joy. You shall experience His pleasures. You shall experience the components of His presence in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Even today, I pray as we pray that we shall experience His presence. As we raise our voices as the redeemed children of God, that we shall step into the very presence of God, plug into the components of His presence, and begin to experience them in every aspect of our lives. Can I get an amen from you? Amen. Number two, what is the aftermath of redemption from the life of Joseph? It is success. Success is the aftermath of, you know, redemption. We are seeing that the Bible says here, we are seeing that Joseph was successful. The Bible says that he was a successful man. After being redeemed, Joseph became a successful man. Now, we must never forget his position. We must never forget, you know, the position that he was in this home. He was not a boss. He was not a supervisor. He was not on top of the, you know, food chain, so to speak, but he was just an ordinary worker, you know, in this home. He was a shamba boy. He was working on the field, and the Bible says he was successful. Can I tell you something? And I want you to listen to this real good, that the redeemed can flourish anywhere. Let me say that again. The redeemed of the Lord can flourish anywhere, no matter your position. If you're God's redeemed child, you can flourish anywhere. Because sometimes we always think, you know, for me to make it, I must be a politician. For me to make it, I must, you know, have this. For me to make it, I must be a boss. For me to make it and do well, you know, I must at least be a supervisor. But let me tell you, those who are redeemed, those who are set free, those who have been brought back into the kingdom of God, those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, they can flourish anywhere. Your geographical location does does not matter. Your position at the place of work does not matter. Where you have been placed, you know, in that company does not matter. The redeemed of the Lord can flourish anywhere. The redeemed of the Lord will flourish anywhere. So stop crying because of where you are. Stop crying because of where you have been positioned. Stop crying and hitting your head and regretting where you have been placed in that company or in that ministry or wherever you have been placed in that farm. Stop complaining. You are the redeemed of the Lord. As Joseph flourished in the field, you will also flourish in that position. You will flourish where they have placed you. You will flourish behind that desk. You will flourish behind that screen. You will flourish, you know, as a worker where you have been positioned, because you are the redeemed of the Lord. When it comes to flourishing for the redeemed, their geographical location does not matter. Their position does not matter. Where they stay does not matter. Where they work from does not matter. Right where you are, you will flourish. Am I speaking to the redeemed of the Lord in this place? Even in Kenya, you will flourish. In Nairobi, you will flourish. Wherever you are, you will flourish, because you are the redeemed of the Lord. Joseph was not a boss. Joseph was not a supervisor. Joseph was not even a manager, but Joseph was just a worker in the house of Potiphar. But because he had been redeemed, but because he had been bought from the Ishmaelites and brought to a setting where he could flourish, the Bible says he flourished. Whatever he touched flourished. As he worked in the field, he flourished. I prophesy over your life this morning as the redeemed of the Lord, that may you flourish where God has positioned you. May you flourish where God has placed you. May you flourish in that company. May you flourish in that farm. May you flourish in that church. May you flourish in that business. Wherever you are and wherever you are doing, may you flourish in the name of Jesus. Even in a strange territory, may you flourish. Remember, Joseph was in a strange territory. He was in Egypt. He had never been in Egypt. He didn't dream of going to Egypt. He didn't want to go to Egypt, but he found himself there. And when he found himself there as the redeemed of the Lord, he flourished in that particular place. May you flourish where God has positioned you. May you flourish where you have found yourself. In the name of Jesus, may you be a successful man. May you be a successful woman, regardless of your rank, regardless of your position, regardless of your gender, regardless of your status. May you flourish wherever you are in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Location does not matter for anyone who is redeemed. Wherever they are, they will flourish. Like Isaac, they will be in a hard place and still flourish. Like Isaac, they will be in a famine, in the midst of a famine, but they will still flourish. Hallelujah. So no matter where your business is, no matter where your church is, no matter where your ministry is, no matter where your company is, may you flourish in the name of Jesus. If you're a pastor here, hallelujah, may your church flourish. May your church multiply. May your church explode in the name of Jesus. If you have a business here, may that business flourish, because you are the redeemed of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. If you've started a farm, may it flourish wherever you are, in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is that you're doing with your hands, may it flourish, regardless of where it is. May it flourish in the name of Jesus. May that place begin to open up. May that location begin to open up supernaturally by the grace and the power of God. And may you flourish in the name of Jesus. May that anointing to flourish that was upon Joseph also come upon you, because you are the redeemed of the Lord. And may you flourish left, right, and center in the name of Jesus. Can I get an amen in this place? Hallelujah. Somebody type, I am flourishing. I am flourishing regardless of my geographical location. I am flourishing regardless of my rank. I am flourishing regardless of my position and my status. I am flourishing regardless of my gender and my exposure. I am flourishing in the name of Jesus. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am flourishing in ministry. I am flourishing in business. I am flourishing in my career. I'm flourishing in my studies. Regardless of my geographical location, I am flourishing because I am the redeemed of the Lord. I feel like preaching right here. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen from you? Hallelujah. Number three, and then we get to pray. We'll continue in the evening. Number three, what is the aftermath? What is the aftermath of redemption? What is the aftermath of redemption? Number one is the Lord's presence. Number two is success. And number three is favor. Favor is the aftermath of redemption. Those who are redeemed experience favor. Look at what the Bible says here about Joseph. And Joseph found favor in the sight of Potiphar. And he chose him to serve him. Look at Joseph now. He's moving from the field. Now he has become a personal, you know, assistant. Now he's serving the main guy. He's serving the boss. He moves from the field, you know, from the chamber. Now he becomes a peer. He is serving the boss because of favor. Favor is the aftermath of redemption, of being redeemed. Listen, I want you to know that when you're favored, it simply means that you are treated with preference. Hallelujah. You are given preferential treatment. Hallelujah. You see, when Joseph was with his brothers, he was favored by his father. And his brothers were not happy that he was favored. And so they decided that we're going to kill this favor. We're going to destroy this favor. That's why they took his coat of many colors, which signifies favor, and they soiled it with blood. You know, they messed up the color with blood. It was no longer a coat of many colors, but it was a coat of blood, which signified death. It was a bloody coat. It was no longer the coat of many colors. But when I feel something. When Potiphar redeemed Joseph, Potiphar released an invisible coat over Joseph. They messed up with his physical coat, but Potiphar gave him an invisible coat. He restored favor upon the life of Joseph. The Bible says Joseph found favor in the sight of Potiphar, and Potiphar chose him. He said, I want you now to be the one serving me. I want you to move closer and begin to serve me. You'll be the one putting food on my table. You'll be the one organizing my itinerary. Where I go, you will be there. I have favored you. I've promoted you from the field. Now you're going to work around me. My goodness. So the coat that the brothers thought, you know, they were destroying so that they may destroy his favor, Potiphar was able to restore it, and he put an invisible coat of favor around Joseph. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I came to tell somebody here this morning that no matter what the enemy has done in your life, he has taken away your coat, he has taken away your dignity, he has taken away your honor, he has messed up with things that were very dear to you. But I want you to know that this morning you have come to a service of redemption. You have joined in, you have tuned in to a service of redemption, that whatever the enemy took away from you, whatever the enemy stole from you, God is going to restore it in your life this morning in the name of Jesus. That coat that you are wearing, the coat of favor that you are wearing, that the enemy took away from you and soiled it and tried to silence and stop the favor of God from flowing in your life, this morning that favor is being restored in the name of Jesus. That favor is being restored over your life in the name of Jesus. I wish somebody can shout a big amen. You thought you had lost it. You thought it had been taken away from you. You thought it had been destroyed and you will never have it back. But I'm so glad that the word of God is true even today, that what you you lost through your enemies, God is raising somebody else to restore it to you, even this morning, in the name of Jesus. Everybody here, I pray that may you locate your Potiphar. May you locate that strategic person that God has positioned in your life, who will unlock the blessing, the favor, the court that you had lost through your enemies. May your Potiphar unlock it in your life this morning as you pray, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's coming back in the name of Jesus. Your favor, preferential treatment is coming back in the name of Jesus. The favor that you lost, the blessing that you lost, the preferential treatment that you lost is being restored this morning as you pray. Why? Because you are the redeemed of the Lord. God has redeemed you. And with redemption comes benefits. And one of the benefits is favor. This morning, receive favor. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. There's somebody here, you are frustrated at the place of work until the favor that you used to enjoy, you no longer enjoy it. But this morning, I stand as a prophet and I declare that the favor that you lost at the place of work is being restored this morning in the name of Jesus. The honor that you lost at the place of work is being restored this morning in the name of Jesus. The favor that you enjoyed where you work, the favor that you enjoyed at the place of work, the favor that you enjoyed in your family, the favor that you enjoyed in your community that you lost is being restored this morning, even as you pray in the name of Jesus. There is redemption. You are redeemable. There is redemption. Oh, yes, in the kingdom there is redemption. And so wherever you lost, that favor that you lost, that honor that you lost, may it be restored this morning in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen. Hallelujah. God comes to Mary and he tells Mary through an angel that, Mary, you are highly favored. I decree to you this morning as we enter into a moment of prayer that you are highly favored. No matter what you lost, no matter what was stolen from you, no matter how they tried to malign your name, no matter the mud they threw at you to try and discredit you, this morning I decree and I prophesy over your life, what you lost is being restored. The honor you lost is being restored. The dignity you lost is being restored. The confidence you lost is being restored. The favor you lost is being restored. In the name of Jesus, is coming back in Jesus' name. And we all shout a big amen. Oh my goodness, we have to pray. We'll continue with this in the evening, but we have to pray. I want to give you three prayer points so that we can pray very fast in Jesus' name. One of the components of redemption is the presence of God. Moses said, Lord, we will not live here if your presence doesn't go without us. I want you to pray for the presence of God to be so real in your life. I want you to pray for the presence of God to envelop your life this morning. May you not leave your house without the presence of God. Pray that the presence of God will saturate you. Pray that the presence of God will surround you in the name of Jesus. Everybody, right now, I want you to open your heart and don't be quiet, don't be silent. This is a life-changing prayer you are making this morning, because you are the redeemed son of God, you are the redeemed child of God, you are the redeemed daughter of God. I want you to raise your voice and pray, oh God, I need your presence. May your presence surround you. May your presence saturate me. I will not leave my house without your presence. I will not drive and go to work without your presence. May your presence be with me in everything I do today. May your presence be real in my life, in the name of Jesus. Everybody, from wherever you are, in your living room, in your car, in your gym, running, whatever you're doing in your bedroom, I want you to raise your voice and begin to pray for the presence of God. David says, cast me not away from your presence, O God. You are the redeemed of the Lord. Pray for his presence right now, his presence to surround you. His presence to saturate you. His presence to fill you. His presence to be with you. May the Lord be with you. May His hand be with you. May His glory be with you. Lift your voice and pray right now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, as you were with Joseph, we pray this morning that may you be with us. As your presence was with Moses, we pray this morning, may your presence be with us. As your glory surrounded the children of Israel, I pray that may your glory surround us as well. In the name of Jesus, I pray, oh God, that may we be saturated with your presence today, that we shall not leave our houses devoid of your presence. We shall not go to work devoid of your presence. We shall not deal with life today devoid of your presence. In the name of Jesus, your presence will be with us. Your presence will move with us. Your presence will walk with us. Your presence will surround us in everything that we do. In the name of Jesus, we shall not solve problems without your presence today. We shall not deal with difficulties without your presence today. We shall not deal with challenging situations devoid of your presence today. In the name of Jesus, may your presence be with us. May your presence surround us. May your presence guard us. May your presence, oh God, saturate our lives this morning. In the name of Jesus, may your presence fill our houses this morning. In the name of Jesus, Father, we are tired of being dry. We are tired of operating without your presence. We are tired of moving without your presence. We are tired of a dry life, a prayerless life, a presence-free life. This morning, we are craving, we are praying, we are desiring, we are crying for your presence to fill us, to walk with us, to saturate us. In the name of Jesus, we say like Moses, without your presence, we will not make a move. Without your presence, we will not move from here. Without your presence, we will not make a decision. Without your presence, we will not take another step forward. In the name of Jesus, may your presence fill us. May your presence surround us. May your presence saturate us. In the name of Jesus, may your presence be so real in our lives this morning. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Are you praying, somebody? Are you calling for the presence of God to be tangible, to be real in your life this morning? Don't be quiet, don't be silent. Oh yes, make the prayer that the presence of God be with you, because you are the redeemed child of God. It is the aftermath of redemption. The presence of God is the aftermath of redemption. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord be with us in all our endeavors. May the Lord walk with us in all our endeavors. May the Lord surround us in all our endeavors. In the name of Jesus, today we shall not fight without His presence. We shall not deal with different circumstances and situations without His presence. We shall not resolve matters that will confront us without His presence. In the name of Jesus, His presence will be our rear guard. His presence will surround us. His presence will saturate us. His presence will go with us. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Father, I pray that may you be with us. May you go with us. May you fight for us. May you help us resolve whatever we are going to encounter today. In the name of Jesus, we shall not walk alone. We shall not operate alone. We shall not deal with situations that will confront us alone, because your presence is going to be with us. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Secondly, I want you to pray that you shall be successful no matter where you are. In the name of Jesus, you shall be a successful man. You shall be a successful woman no matter where you are this morning. In the name of Jesus, no matter what you do, no matter the work you do, you shall succeed. You shall be successful. Joseph was in the field. He was not a boss. He was in the field and he was successful. I want you to pray that you shall be successful no matter where you are. In the name of Jesus, raise your voice right now and begin to pray. Yes, don't be quiet. Don't be silent. Raise your voice and pray right now that you shall be successful in the name of Jesus. Raise your voice wherever you are. Don't let anyone silence you. Don't let anyone, oh yes, intimidate you. Raise your voice right now and pray that you will succeed. You will succeed in the field. You will succeed at the place of work. You will succeed in your business. You will succeed in whatever you touch your hands to do in the name of Jesus. No matter your geographical location, no matter your status, no matter your rank, no matter your position, wherever you are, you shall succeed in the name of Jesus. You shall succeed in business. You shall succeed in your career. You shall succeed in your profession in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Raise your voice, raise your voice, raise your voice, raise your voice and pray right now in the name of Jesus. I need to hear you in the spirit. I need to catch you in the spirit. Don't be quiet wherever you are. Pray, 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 pray. Raise your voice and pray in your living room, in your house, wherever you are. Pray right now. You are the redeemed child of God. You are the redeemed son of God. You are the redeemed daughter of God. And the aftermath of redemption is success. You will not be a failure. Oh yes, in the name of Jesus, you will not be stuck in your career for years and not growing and not, you know, succeeding in the name of Jesus. Oh, pray that you will do well. Pray that you will rise. Pray that you will keep moving higher and higher. Pray that you will succeed and prosper in the name of Jesus. You will be a successful man. You will be a successful woman in the marketplace, in ministry, in whatever you do, in farming, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Father, I pray that struggles will not be our portion. I pray that stagnation will not be our portion. I pray that retrogression will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that we shall not wallow in poverty in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that frustration will not be our portion in our calling, in our calling, in our profession, in our career, in our ministries. In the name of Jesus, we shall do well. We shall do well. You will do well as well. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that the work of your hands will bring much profit. In the name of Jesus, as you labor, as you work, you will do well. In the name of Jesus, as we work, as we labor, we shall prosper. Oh, prosper greatly in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. No more frustration, no more stagnation, no more retrogression in your life. In the name of Jesus, we shall move forward. We shall move forward. We shall move higher. In the name of Jesus, success is our portion. 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 In the name of Jesus, even today, whatever you have purpose to do, I pray that you shall succeed in it. In the name of Jesus, as you go out, may you succeed. As you go to the marketplace, may you do well. As you go to the place of work, may you succeed in the name of Jesus. As you go back to ministry, may you succeed. As you engage in ministry work, may you succeed in the name of Jesus. Oh my goodness. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In our fields, we shall succeed. In our career, we shall succeed. In ministry, we shall succeed. In the name of Jesus, we shall do well. By the grace of God, as Joseph flourished, we shall flourish. May you flourish in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you praying, somebody? Are you praying? Come on, raise your voice and pray that you will flourish. You will flourish in your career. You will flourish in the marketplace. You will flourish. Everything you touch, it will flourish like Joseph in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Master. And the last prayer point I want you to pray is favor, 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 favor. Pray for favor. Hallelujah. Pray for restoration. The coat that was taken, may God restore it. May God throw an invisible coat of favor around you in the name of Jesus. Pray for favor right now in the name of Jesus. May you be highly favored. May you be highly favored in the name of Jesus.
May you be highly favored in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. May you be favored at the place of work. May you be favored in the marketplace. May you be favored in ministry, wherever you are. I pray for favor in the name of Jesus. Father, this morning I pray that may your favor envelop my life. I pray that may your favor cover me. I pray that may your favor saturate my life in the name of Jesus. As Joseph was favored in a strange land, I pray that may I be favored in this land in the name of Jesus. Raise my Potiphar who is going to favor me in the name of Jesus. Raise my Potiphar who is going to pave a way, oh yes, for my dream to be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Raise a Potiphar in our lives who is going to provide a setup for our elevation and favor in the name of Jesus. I pray that none of us will operate without favor. I pray that none of us will go to work without favor. I pray that none of us will do ministry without favor. I pray that none of us will start a business without favor in the name of Jesus. Favor your children, favor your people, favor your servants this morning in the name of Jesus. Throw that coat, Lord, the invisible coat of favor around our lives this morning in the name of Jesus. We will not leave the house without the coat of favor, the coat of many colors in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. May favor fill our homes. May favor surround our church. I pray that you will favor our church in the community that you have blessed us in the name of Jesus. You will favor our businesses. You will favor our farms, the farms that we have started up, in the name of Jesus. Everything concerning us, Lord, it will have the mark of favor on it. It will be branded favor in the name of Jesus. My name will be branded favor. My name is favor. My name will elicit favor in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, pray. Pray for the favor of God. Like Joseph, favor will walk with you. Favor will go with you. Favor will move with you. No matter where you are, no matter where you go, in the pit, favor will be with you. In Egypt, favor will be with you. In a strange land, favor will be with you. In the name of Jesus, it will stick on you like white on rice. In Jesus' name, Father, I prophesy favor upon your children this morning. As they pray, may your favor surround them. As they pray, may your favor keep them. As they pray, may your favor saturate their lives. In the name of Jesus, they will not leave this prayer service without favor operating in their lives. In the name of Jesus, they will not go out of their houses without your favor around their lives. In the name of Jesus, may your favor keep them. May your favor surround them. May your favor saturate their lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray over your life this morning as you leave your house. May you have the oil of favor on your face in the name of Jesus. As you go to the place of work, may you ooze favor out of every pore of your being in the name of Jesus. May the people you meet, may you obtain favor in their sight in the name of Jesus. As you meet people, as you go to the place of work, whoever you meet, oh yes, may they favor you in the name of Jesus. May your Potiphar favor you. May your boss favor you. May your leader favor you in the name of Jesus. May favor be with you. May favor go with you. May favor be part of your life. May favor saturate and surround you. May favor capture you in the name of Jesus. May favor be with you every step of the way in the name of Jesus. That as you work diligently, may favor open doors for you. May favor release blessings over your life. May favor cause people who are influential, oh yes, to elevate you in the name of Jesus. Favor. I live with favor. I operate in favor. I operate in favor. I lead with favor. I work with favor in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your favor, for your favor, for your favor. Favor even for our children. Favor for our children. Favor for our spouses. In the name of Jesus, they will not operate without favor. In the name of Jesus, may favor be with us. May favor fill us. May favor surround us. May we be highly favored like Mary. In the name of Jesus, we receive favor. We receive your presence. We receive the ability to be successful. This morning, Jehovah God, receive thanksgiving, receive glory, receive honor, receive power for doing it in our lives this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. We bless your name. Why don't you open your mouth and begin to thank God for favor? Begin to thank God for his presence. Begin to thank God for the power to be successful. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we are grateful. Lord, we are thankful for your blessings. We are thankful for your favor. We are thankful for your presence around our lives today. As we leave this prayer service, we are leaving this prayer service as the redeemed children of your kingdom, who are partakers of the components of redemption. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you honor. I worship you, Jesus. I magnify you. I lift you up, O God. Receive my worship. Receive the praise. Receive the glory. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes. We exalt you and we glorify your name. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. And we all shout a big amen. Amen. Type a loud amen. Yes, type it. Shout a loud amen through the comment section in the name of Jesus. I receive favor. I walk under the presence, canopy of the presence of God. I am a successful man. I am a successful woman in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is powerful. The aftermath of redemption. May it be a reality in your life in Jesus' name. You are the redeemed of the Lord. You are the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You are the redeemed of the Lord. May you experience these three blessings. The aftermath of redemption that we see in the life of Joseph. Hallelujah. May you experience God's presence. May the presence of God be so real. May you be successful. Yes, today, may you see success. And may you be a partaker of God's favor upon your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Dr. Dodswaite's podcast today. We hope you found inspiration and insight that resonates deeply within you. Remember, transformation is not just a destination, but a continuous journey. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe and share it with those you care about. Together, let's spread the light of transformation far and wide. Until next time, stay blessed, stay inspired, and keep transforming your world.